shining a light on the women creating impact, leading organizations and mission-focused strategic programs across the federal technology and consulting community. This is Impact. I'm being joined today by Jennifer Folsom, the Vice President of Growth at ICF. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So let's start with, let me know about, is there an experience or an event that you believe helped steer you down your current path?
During the pandemic, I realized that my sort of, particularly around sort of my female network, was getting a little bit light. A friend that I had met once at an event reached out, and she was sort of starting this really informal women's networking group. And we met during COVID times over, just Zoom cocktails in the evenings, sometimes like in that like happy hour time over people are getting hungry and the natives are restless and dinner needs to be made. But what we realized as a group is that we can't let this time where sort of the world's falling apart and our needs are so great at home, we couldn't let our personal networks die. We really had to make an effort on that. Through that group, I was able to meet someone in my industry who's now my boss, Mary Schwartz. And I was having a particular challenge in my role, and I knew she was in my industry. And I just said, hey, I think you can probably help me with this problem. You've probably run across it past. How have you looked at it? And it was great. Like, this is not someone I worked with, but was just in the same industry. And not only did she help me sort of workshop through that problem, she said, I have a job for you, and I think it's exactly the right fit. And I think maybe you've been sort of siloed into one particular area, and I see something in you that maybe you're not seeing in yourself yet. And that was 100%. So I think that sort of extended moment of having a broad group of women supporting me throughout my career, then finding the one that's in my industry that could give me some direct support, and then also kind of helping me to take a risk and take a role that's a little bit outside of my comfort zone.
Awesome. So with that, do you have a leader or a mentor that helped guide you along the way?
I have a lot of leaders. I have a lot of mentors. One of my mentor friends is Mika Brzezinski. You might know her from MSNBC. She has the Know Your Value platform. I write for her and that platform on MSNBC.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yes, but I love the mission. And every time I sort of get boxed into what I think is a corner, or I'm feeling like, gosh, I'm working it with these gentlemen who seem to be threatened by me. How do I solve that? Or how do I go into a contract negotiation? I go back to her. I go back to her books. I go back to her writing on MSNBC. Sometimes the late night, the chat, which of course she's an early morning riser for the morning show. So she gets back to me the next day, but she's been terrific. But I've also been clear to seek male mentors as well. I mean, the fact of the matter is there are just not as many women in top leadership positions. And I think that if you narrow the sort of people you're seeking as mentors to a smaller group, then you're not going to get the full perspective. And that's really kind of what you need when it comes to not just mentors, but sponsors, people to look out for you who know your background and your career goals and want to see you succeed and can kind of help make some introductions and clear hurdles to get you where you want to be.
Yeah, I have a mentor that's a guy that was really, really pro women. So I think that was like a nice crossover, you know, that was just like he had a wife that was very successful and he was all about seeing women succeed. So it's always
absolutely.
So now talking about leaders, what's something important for leaders to keep in mind as they're guiding teams and driving organizations forward?
I have really come to see the importance of the leadership energy that you bring to the room. We're asking a lot of people right now. You know, we're going into a potential shutdown situation. We are asking people to do double duty on a lot of jobs. Like, there's never a time where like there's ample people around and we're asking people to do really big, hard things and learn new technologies and tackle big problems. But the tone at the top is really, really important. And the energy you bring to that and the enthusiasm and the vision that inspires people to get through those tough times, to not get sucked into office drama or gossip, to spend their time on and energy on the right things. That's really at the top. And I had an old boss who said, you know, it doesn't matter what I did, what happened in my personal life. When I walk into the room, what I do matters. And I always remember this old ER episode when George Clooney is leaving and he's looking at Noah Wiley and he says, "Carter, you set the tone. You set the tone, Dr. Carter." And I hear that in my head all the time. So, you know, sometimes I know I come into meetings and I'm a lot, I can be too much. But that's okay too. I know I've got to bring the, particularly, I mean, I work in a business unit that's 70% not in the local area. So I'm working with people in different time zones and different areas, and a lot of it's on screens. So how does that translate? I think on the flip side, I've really learned I've got to make sure that I'm filling my cup so that I can bring that energy. And that's what really matters.
Yep. So now, looking over the past 5 years, what's something that you would say has made a significant impact on the future of this industry?
If there's an upside in COVID times, it's that all of the labor that particularly women take on that is not seen was broadcast for the whole world on Teams, on chat. So yeah, you see someone coming home from school at 4 o'clock, "Mom, mom, hey, mom, I'm hungry, mom." You see that I need to help with homework and homeschooling, and maybe I'm a dog mom and have, you know, some furry animals that need my attention. You know, our lives writ large are just on screen and shared in a very personal way. That's why I always kind of get chuckled to hear about, "Oh, well, we really need to get back physically into the office so we can have these in-person, you know, meetings and interactions, and that's what's really going to drive relationship development." And I'm looking at you. I know we're on audio only here, but now, but Marianne, I'm looking at your plants and I'm like, I want to talk about your plants and ask about what that thing is over your door. And, but even when I'm, you know, I think contracting officers are the hardest working people in show business, but I find that I'm able to get them often in that 8 to 9 a.m. If they're not commuting, they're often working from home. I can find something that's not just like an update on my acquisition strategy to talk about that really helps to build that relationship that we're just people. My contracting officer has limited time, ability, and is can go to jail if they do their job wrong, right? So I have to also see them as a human, which we have a job to do and a conversation to have, but seeing that sort of home life, I think is helpful and really has humanized a lot of our interactions. I also think that you know, I think I'm back in the office at least a day a week. But I don't need to spend 10 hours a day commuting, and getting that 10 hours back has really been transformative in what I've been able to take on professionally. So I'm running a new sort of initiative and project at work, but I'm not necessarily spending 90 minutes on the road every day. That 90 minutes can be reprogrammed to do something cool and different that's professionally related to me, and also giving me that time back to fill my cup. So I think the way we work fundamentally different. I don't see a shift back to the time before because the time before was not working.
And I mean, meeting for meetings is useful and helpful, but yeah, that DC traffic and the commute time, you save so much time not having to do that. Ugh. So,
Yeah,
look
absolutely.
to the future, what do you think is going to be the greatest focus over the next 5 years?
I think making the technology work for people. We've had this sort of massive, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. One of my first projects working in government was a massive IT project for the Navy, NMCI, which is nicknamed the networking made completely impossible. But you know, what they were trying to do is put the entire Navy Marine Corps on one system. This is pre-cloud, and the idea that you could have one email address that wasn't related to a base or, you know, duty station, one, you know, set of imaging and applications. I mean, what they're trying to do is so remarkable. And then you think about sort of the cloud revolution and now all these low code, no code. I mean, the codeless platforms and what applications with citizen developers, I mean, sky's the limit, right? But the technology is not necessarily going to solve all of our problems. There's not an app to solve every problem that we have. I think we need to take a step back and really feel about, think more holistically about what those entire set of experiences are between citizens and government agencies, for example, right? So it's not just the screen and how easy is that app to use, But what does every single interaction with that look like? And how do we transform that? So, and how do we use technology to help improve the citizen experience? You don't always think about the IRS. Like, why focus on CX at the IRS? We are by law customers. If you're not, you go to jail. Right? Mm-hmm. So why does it matter? Because focusing on the customer experience makes everything better. Not only is it better for citizens, it makes their employee experience better, which makes the government run more efficiently and how we fund our government work better and more effectively. So, you know, I really think about the bigger picture of the next 5 years. The focus is on the whole experience of making technology work for the people.
Awesome. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add, Jack?
I think, you know, having been in GovCon for 25 years now, it is a really exciting time for women, particularly. You see a lot of women in really impressive roles, both in industry and government. There are ways and things that are really hot right now that sort of make women play to our natural strengths. And, you know, take the time, take the risk. Get outside of your comfort zone and seek support where you need it, because there are 1,000 cheerleaders on the sideline really wanting you to succeed.
Well, Jennifer Folsom, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Please be sure to check out our other podcasts, Keeping IT Brief and Afternoon Tea, available on your podcast providers. Yeah.